Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at How Stuff Works, and I've got Ben with me. How you doing today, Ben?
You know what, man? I am always doing well when I run into you and get a chance to talk about some cars or really just anything high speed,
well,
right?
I've got a surprise for you then. We're going to not talk about cars today.
Wait, what? Wait, yeah. Nope. What show are we on?
Well, it's high speed stuff, I
know.
You're
right, but you're right. Okay, go on.
High speed trains. That's what we're going to go for today. High speed trains because it seems like a logical move for us. I mean, it's not necessarily automotive, not really what we normally do, not in our wheelhouse, but I think high-speed trains are interesting.
And it's fast.
Very fast, yeah. Well, we'll find out just how fast as we kind of progress here, but I guess what we need to do first is we need to define what a high-speed train really is, right?
That's just what I was going to ask you. Oh, what is a high-speed train?
I didn't mean to jump on anything.
No, it's like you're reading my mind,
well,
dude.
I mean, what do you think would be fast right now? Because I have an idea that you know this answer already, but
fast right
hit,
now.
Hit me with it. If you know it for sure, just tell me.
Fast right now for a train, mm-hmm. I would say a high-speed train would mm-hmm. be over 200.
Over 200? You know what? You're right. It would be over 200, but okay. we'll get into the upper limits of that right now. But what are the lower limits of what would be considered a high-speed train versus just a pretty fast train?
Okay, so a high-speed train versus just your run-of-the-mill average Joe Schmo train.
Yeah, and I'll give it away by saying there's no clear definition of it right now, but just a ballpark.
Oh, okay. Ballpark, I would say probably the lower limit has got to be somewhere around 100 miles an hour.
You're very, very close, yeah. Most of the documentation that I've been looking at in the last couple days mm-hmm. says that anywhere between 125 and 150 is considered a high-speed train.
Okay.
So 100, I mean, also, do you hear what I'm saying? That there's a train. Now, you know how big a train is, and you know where trains go through towns and across crossings with other vehicles. 125 to 150 miles per hour.
And those are heavy. It's a lot harder to get a train going that quickly,
it's
right?
It's very difficult to get a train. Actually, to get it going, I don't know if it's – it probably is very difficult. There's enormous motors involved. And you know what? You're just reminding me. I want to say something right now. One of our listeners had mentioned a lot, or this is maybe a month ago, had written in and said that, this is Mark from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Hi, Mark.
He mentioned earlier that most trains right now are diesel electric hybrids. I don't know if you knew that or not.
You know what? I saw that email.
You
I
did?
Think.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Very good. You know what?
Okay. I did not know that until you told us, Mark.
No, I didn't either. And I just really hadn't even considered it. Yeah, I thought they were all steam. Ben, I can't believe you'd say that. But no, I'm kidding.
Say it. I was like, really?
Steam train. No, that's like turn of the century. Turn of the 19th century. Anyways, no, 20th, whatever. I get that mixed up every time, don't I?
It happens to all of us.
Anyways, he mentioned that there were most trains are diesel electric hybrids right now.
Uh-huh.
So you've got a diesel engine powering an electric motor, which then drives the train.
Okay.
So where was I going with that? I forget. But the idea that, you know, it takes a lot of energy to get this thing moving. Yeah. Well, those motors, as we know, have a lot of torque.
Yes.
So they probably get the thing going pretty quickly in most cases. Stopping a train, that's another story. Now, you probably use the exact same thing that they do in a hybrid car where you can use regenerative braking and goes in a generator mode. I don't know if it necessarily is truly regenerative braking, but the motor can work against the wheels in order to slow it down.
And these can't stop on a dime.
No. It takes a long, long time to slow down a train. Even now, I'm saying even modern trains, it takes a long time to slow down.
Well, before we get to modern trains, let's talk about how far back in history high-speed trains go.
Oh, actually, they go way back. If you want...
Wait. Okay. Let me interrupt, and I'm sorry, but I've got to interrupt here, my friend. Don't pull that Da Vinci move on me again, you know?
Yeah, no. Da Vinci didn't develop high-speed trains, I don't think.
Yeah.
He may have. You know what? I'll probably need
maybe
to
we just
that.
Haven't found that notebook.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, he probably did. He probably invented...
Filling in our listeners real quick.
He probably invented flying trains.
Right, filling in our listeners really quick. A couple of times, Scott has pulled something on me that I'm calling the Da Vinci move, officially, where he asks me how far back I think something goes.
And you usually say 1960.
Sure. I mean, you know, that's a, I feel like that's a good solid guess. Yeah. That's like picking C on the test. Mm-hmm. But no. So
no, it usually goes back to 1490.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I'm learning now. But, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Now this I'm not going to claim going back that far, but I do want to say, and we'll kind of start it here. We'll just say that in, let's say 1900.
Okay.
A train would be going pretty quickly if it was moving around 90 or even 100 miles per hour.
Oh yes.
That was the old steam powered engines that I mentioned earlier. flat joke earlier. But if you really want to talk about high-speed trains, like what we're talking about, the 125 miles per hour or even faster. The Italians in 1939, they had a train that would go 126 miles per hour. Now that's the train's called the ETR 200, and they've got variations of this that still operate that are still high-speed trains. They go, you know, much faster. We'll talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you progress to the 1960s, believe it or not, the U.S. and Canada had a high-speed train.
We did.
We don't anymore. This was called the Turbo Train, and it ran between Boston and New York and between Toronto and Montreal. And in 1967, it reached a top speed of 171 miles per hour.
That's not too shabby.
Yeah, not too bad. As a matter of fact, that's still the North American record. And that's on a conventional track, too, like just a regular metal track, metal wheels, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're looking at me.
No, because I think I know where you're going with that.
Okay.
But go on. Don't let me spoil it.
All right. Well, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. So anyways, the Turbo Train was retired in 1982, and that's mainly because it just wasn't able to travel at the speeds that it was designed for, and it was old. And
Infrastructure, I guess.
Exactly. Infrastructure. We just didn't have the infrastructure for it. Then in the late 70s and early 80s, Italy and France both kind of got into the game a little more in depth. Now, remember, the Italians have the ETR versions of the train. I think it's up around 450 is their version now. And I don't know what the numbers mean exactly, but they go 300, 400, whatever. There's a series there, a progression.
Okay.
I think they're up to around 450. France now has something called the TGV train, which stands for, and I'll butcher this name.
All right.
Train à grande vitesse. I really take you there, don't I? It's like I'm French.
I was looking for your beret, actually.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Anyways, that train can travel at speeds up to 199 miles per hour.
That's pretty cool.
That's not bad. And that was in the late 70s and early 80s that we're talking about. And that train has been around for some time. They've got, the French corridor, as they say, where the train is allowed to travel at its fastest point. Just perfect for it, long, flat stretches.
Okay, wait, that's where we're getting to a different question about the tracks. Should we go there yet, or should we talk about...
Yeah, why not? You know what, and then I'll pick it right back up with this.
Yeah, okay.
So the tracks, the tracks are vital in this case. I mean, they have to be straight. They have to be very flat. Of course, all train tracks have to be very even, of course, and in good condition to operate. But for a high-speed train to operate, it needs a long, flat stretch of track. And also another thing that I'm finding is, doing my reading here, is that a mountain pass is kind of difficult for them to do because they have to cut it, cut through the mountain. They can't necessarily go over top of the mountain unless there's
because of the slope.
Yeah, well, it's unless there's a because of the speed. You don't want to, crest a mountaintop going 150 miles an hour or 200 miles an hour.
Good point.
you might become airborne. You didn't want to. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that they cut through the mountain and keep it as flat as possible. Now you'd say you can go around the mountain, but there you're dealing with turns, and again, these things are going so fast that turning is often difficult for them, or not exactly the best situation. I mean, it's not that it's super dangerous, but it's uncomfortable for the passengers.
Oh, because of the speed and the gravity involved?
Well, you're right. You'd be pressed against the wall if you were to turn on a flat track at the speeds that we're talking about. So a lot of these trains, and this is, I'm glad you said that, because a lot of them have developed tilting technology so that the train tilts as it enters the turn. They don't tilt the tracks, the train tilts.
Okay, so the track is still flat.
The track is still flat because, you can't have every train going the exact same speed when they enter a turn. If it was tilted, if it was banked like a race course,
mm-hmm.
If a train is going slow enough, I guess it could potentially even fall off the tracks,
wow.
I would think. But if it were to hit it at the right speed, an angled track would work out okay, but it would have to be exactly the right speed.
So that's dangerous, because if there was some obstruction that they had to slow down for earlier, or something, you know, something, anything before then or after that turn that modified the speed they could take it at.
Exactly, or if there was another train on that same rail. Because oftentimes, now they should be on their own dedicated rails, and some are, depending on the speed. But others do share rails with other trains, and it's not always the case, but sometimes it happens.
You know, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Let me reveal something to you, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
I have never been in charge of a train or a train company or anything. I know I've got quite a checkered past, but yeah, let me just...
I'm shocked.
I just wanted to let you know, man. So take it with a grain of salt. That sounds like a terrible idea to not have dedicated tracks for trains that are going hundreds of miles.
You know what? I've barely taken a look at this, you know, because a lot of them say that, you know, they need to be on dedicated tracks and some aren't. And I don't know where that's the case and where it isn't the case. Now, there's some that we're going to talk about in a moment that they have to be on a dedicated track, and you'll find out why, because there's no way anything's getting out of the way of this train.
Okay.
All right, so...
All
have,
right.
Have I whetted your appetite for this now?
Yes.
Because that's exactly where we are. We had left off with the TGV train in France that's capable of right around 200 miles per hour, right?
Uh-huh.
99, I think I said. Now, there are a couple of world records that I want to share with you.
Okay.
And, well, let's just say that so far all the trains we've talked about are conventional. That means that they have metal wheels and they have metal tracks.
And they make contact with the tracks.
Yeah, they make contact with the tracks and... a lot of friction and, you know, everything else involved with that. But
where are you going with this?
Well, this is kind of cool. This is a little space age stuff.
Okay.
Now there's something called a magnetic levitation train, which is also called a maglev train. So this train levitates itself above the track. It rides on a cushion of air.
Wow. Yeah, okay. I think I know the ones. Are you talking about the ones in Japan?
I am.
That stuff, that is magic, man.
Yep. So
I don't even know.
You've seen them then?
Yeah, I've seen videos of it, but I have not yet gone to on a maglev train ride.
Neither have I. No.
But
I'd like to.
Yeah, if we're in Japan, we should definitely go.
I think so. And it's probably a strange experience because it's so smooth, and it would be, I think it makes kind of a humming noise, they said. When it enters the station, you can hear it humming.
Wow. And you're floating... You're floating on magnetic force. That just blows me away.
That's right. I have no idea how high this thing floats off of the track. I'm sure that there's some kind of safety that keeps it on there. I hope. Well, there has to be, because otherwise it would just wildly float away.
And they've been running it for years, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's been around for a while.
So are you saying that the conventional trains and the maglev trains have different world records?
They do. And as you may guess, you know, there's one for an... I guess the maglev trains are called a non-conventional train.
Okay.
The conventional trains are just a conventional train, but these are land speed records for rail. Boy, I messed that up. I'll figure out exactly what that is.
How about rail speed records?
Land speed records, but specifically for trains. They are considered land speed records.
Okay.
Because rail records, they go back to the rocket sleds.
Rocket sled on rails. Yeah, we did that one.
Yeah, that's cool. I read some more stuff about that, by the way. That's pretty interesting.
Well, astonish me, Scott. What's our world record?
World record for which do you want first, conventional or maglev?
Dude, I want conventional first, and then I want to go to the future with the maglev.
All right, it's not dramatically different. I'll tell you that. I'm sorry to burst your bubble there.
No, it's okay.
Okay, conventional train.
Yeah.
France has built the next generation of TGV train, which they call the AGV, which stands for. Here we go again.
Get your cleaver out.
I believe it's Automotrice à Grand Vitesse.
You know, I don't know enough French. I'm sure we'll get a listener.
That was terrible.
Recommendation.
I'll admit that was terrible.
That was noble and
so
courageous.
Anyways, the record, get this.
Uh-huh.
357 miles per hour. 357 miles per hour on a train, on rails, on metal wheels, on a metal rail.
I mean, that just seems dangerous.
357 miles per hour. Now, Formula One race cars go, a maximum of right around 240. And that would be if they had a long enough stretch and top speed.
Yeah.
We're talking 357 miles per hour.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Is this also, can we see this in that video that you showed me?
Yes.
Okay, guys, Scott sent me this video, as we often do with research for this, and it just said, look at this, basically. And I don't know, I guess I feel like I'm doing it a disservice trying to describe it, but it's you can check it out on YouTube. It's a pretty short clip, mm-hmm. About 9-10 minutes long, and it's just shots of this train building up to a maximum speed, I guess.
Yeah, this is the recording of the world record run, the 357 miles per hour. And if you want to search for it, it's only 5 minutes and 45
five
seconds.
5 minutes, okay.
Yeah, and it's called, I'll give you the exact title, French High-Speed Train Breaks World Record. Simple as that. But it is an awesome video, and especially, I'm especially fond of right around 3.5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
3.5 minutes in, yeah. There's some great shots. There's one that's apparently taken from a jet. That's about the best we can figure because of the speed we're talking.
Right.
And it tracks right along with the train through the French countryside. It's awesome. And then there's several cameras on the ground. There's cameras on the train that are documenting they're showing the wheels.
Mm-hmm.
They're showing the electrical connection up, you know, overhead. They're showing the conductor. I guess you still call him a conductor. Controller, I don't know.
I don't know. Speed King?
Yeah, and then they have this shot where media has gathered on a bridge to watch this thing pass.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, can you believe the speed? When you see this thing pass underneath that bridge, you absolutely won't believe your eyes how fast this thing is going.
If you want to watch it at a slow enough pace where you can actually see it pass under the bridge, I would recommend kind of pausing it and then slowly, you know, using your mouse to cycle through.
Does that work? Because I tell you, it's gone so quickly. I watched it several times just to see it coming and going. And
it's like a snap.
It really is. It's super fast. You won't believe it.
But I get the feeling, you know, let me tell you, I'm all on the maglev train.
You know,
conceptually,
you're on the train.
Yeah, I'm on that train.
Okay.
I love that.
Well, as a matter of fact, the maglev train holds the absolute world record for speed.
Boom.
Yeah, you knew it.
I'm holding my arms up.
But not by much. Surprisingly enough, now this train, remember, there's no resistance. It's other than air resistance.
Right.
It's traveling on a cushion of air. And the maglev train has reached a maximum speed of 361 miles per hour.
I reiterate, boom.
Yeah.
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 No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I would totally ride that train.
You are so cool, Ben.
What's that?
You're cool.
Oh, man, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you throw in the lingo.
It's a little feather in my cap.
I mean, you even do, like, the fist bump thing when you walk down the hallway. The guy's,
oh, yeah, well, that I think that makes us look
probably
cool.
Old. It's probably outdated. I don't know.
Yeah, we're probably out of touch.
Yeah, I'm old.
Well, I mean, don't be too hard on yourself,
man.
Okay. Yeah. Well, actually, you know what, though? Let's talk about, this is totally different, but I don't think we should wait till the end. High-speed trains are not a perfect technology, and mishaps do occur.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I do have a couple of accidents to report on. Not that I'm breaking news here or anything, but
right.
These happened years ago. Now, I can imagine that this is pretty dangerous. I mean, extremely dangerous. You're talking about high speed. A lot of people, probably not many in seatbelts on these trains.
Yeah.
If they're going cross country, mm-hmm. A lot of people are in dining cars or whatever. I don't know if they even have that or not. I think the train ride is so fast that maybe you mostly sit in your seat. I don't know.
It probably depends on distance.
But we're talking about a lot of speed here.
Yeah.
In 1998, there was a German train called the Intercity Express, which they, the acronym is ICE, I-C-E, for Intercity Express. And that train, unfortunately, slammed into a concrete bridge at top speed. And I guess it killed 101 people, Ben. There were hundreds of people on board of these things. So now there's a conflicting report as to whether a car fell off a bridge to cause this and landed on the tracks, or if the car fell off afterwards and ended up on the tracks. But I've seen accounts both ways, so I'm not sure exactly what the official investigation was. But I mean, holy cow, 101 people. I mean,
man.
So that's, you know, one of the, again, speed is dangerous. So you got to consider, you know, everything in this case. That is still officially the world's worst high-speed rail disaster at this point. So it'll get better from here.
Oh, okay. So that was the
sort
down
of
point.
Sorry to bring it down, but you know.
No, let's go up.
Okay.
Slowly, because I have the feeling you're going to another
yeah,
accident.
Yeah, this isn't that much better, I'll tell you that, because in April of 2008 in China, one train jumped the track. It was going 81 miles per hour, which happened to be double the official posted speed that was allowed at this point of the track.
Okay.
So the train jumped the track, collided with another train. 70 people killed in this one, 400 injured in that accident.
Wow.
And this is the crazy part, and this is why I'm even bringing this up, really.
Okay.
That train line was open less than 24 hours later.
How?
They reopened that train line. They just worked through the night or through the day or whatever to get this get this taken care of. All the train. Now, can you imagine what a mess that is when two trains collide? You've seen a train derailment before,
yes.
Right? You've got 70 people dead, 400 injured, and within 24 hours, they have this train up and running. Not that train, another train on the same line up and running again.
But to have the line running, that's amazing.
Yeah, and I would guess that there would even be, I mean, I would think that there would have to be track damage even, so they must have relayed the track in that part of the
I'm sure.
The country. I just couldn't believe that when I heard
that.
I was blown away. Now here's another one. This one, relatively happy ending, and I'll explain in a moment.
Okay.
The happy ending is that no humans died in this.
That is a happy ending.
Okay. I said humans. Remember that.
Well, wait, why did
it,
you?
All right. Well, I'll get to it. April of 2008, again, in Germany, another ice train. This one's going 125 miles per hour.
Wow.
Enters a tunnel, and get this, a flock of sheep had wandered onto the track.
What are you doing with sheep in a tunnel?
I don't know. I
mean, not
I guess it was right at yeah, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything with them. But they're right at the entrance to a tunnel, I guess.
Uh-huh.
125 miles per hour. There's no stopping that train.
No.
The sheep aren't going anywhere because they don't even see it coming, probably.
Hmm.
There were 135 people on board, and no one was killed, which is remarkable. There were 40 people injured, but I guess because it entered the train, entered the tunnel, the train wasn't allowed to, you know, tip over or fall off the tracks it normally would in a derailment.
Yeah.
I believe it derailed, but the walls of the tunnel kept it upright, and that probably saved a lot of lives.
Except for the saved a lot of human lives.
Exactly. The sheep, they didn't do so well.
They were not high-speed sheep.
No, the sheep, they had some fatalities.
I'm not trying to sound insensitive.
No, not at all. But, I mean,
sheep.
Holy cow. I mean,
that's crazy.
To hit a flock of sheep at 125 miles per hour, that's pretty shocking.
Are things like this, is the possibility of some sort of rail disaster, is that why there's no rail in the U.S.?
Well, that could be, because, you know, we have so many different types of terrain here in the United States. This is my own personal guess here. I haven't read about this anywhere or anything, but I think that if you're trying to get a train to go from coast to coast, east to west, west to east, you cover so many different types of terrain. You have to go through mountains, and as we know, it doesn't necessarily work for something like this. It would in places. I mean, when you're traveling across the plains.
Sure.
But you got to also remember that if you're having if you have a train that can go 300 miles per hour, 350 miles per hour, you don't want a car crossing track at all.
Mm.
So you would have to build bridges and tunnels, et cetera, to go over expressways and smaller roads. And you'd probably, I'm just guessing, you'd have to elevate that so that, in this case, cattle or sheep or whatever don't wander onto the track, or people. You'd have to discourage people somehow from getting across that track because you know that somebody would do it. Somebody would inadvertently be hit just trying to cross. Because if you watch this train going 350 miles per hour, you'll see how quickly it arrives and then leaves. And I don't think there's much of a chance for somebody who just doesn't see or hear it coming.
You know, that's a really good point, especially about the terrain and the safety concerns, because I guess it's easy to forget when we talk about Japan and European countries having these great rail systems. They're also working with a lot less area.
True, and they're connecting two major cities in a lot of cases. Like Russia's working on one right now that's supposed to be open by the end of this year. I'll tell you, I just haven't heard any news about this, so I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but it's supposed to connect St. Petersburg with Moscow. And again, it's supposed to be ready this year, but it's another instance where, you know, it's just going between two distinct points.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really meant to, you know, be able to go completely around the around
circle
the nation.
The entire nation.
Well, yeah, but we do have something that's kind of in the works, and I'll tell you if you'd like.
Yeah,
and this is about all I have really on this.
Okay.
So, apparently, there is a plan for high-speed rail here in the United States.
Really?
And it all ties in with this economic stimulus plan. There's $13 billion, which I've seen it's been called a down payment on a high-speed rail system.
Billion with a B.
Billion with a B.
And $13 billion. Down payment.
Well, I've heard it called a down payment on a high-speed rail system.
Uh-huh.
And if you look at the map of this proposed plan, and you can search this, you can find it if you search for high-speed rail corridor, I'll say that again.
Okay.
High-speed rail corridor designations. You'll find a map of the U.S. with a layout of the entire proposed high-speed rail system for the United States. And it's actually pretty extensive. There are places that are missed, but I believe it has a lot to do with geography.
You think this is a good idea?
I'm going to say I don't really think it's a good idea because it's going to be so ridiculously expensive at this point. Maybe I'm way off on this. I don't know. I just don't know how much this thing would be used. It seems like it's very expensive. I'm sure it put a lot of people to work right away, you know, to build this thing. However, I think there's also a significant amount of downsides to something like this. Now, you know, there's probably a lot of upsides to this, a lot of positives. I know that there are.
Sure.
But I don't know. It seems to me fairly dangerous, and maybe I'm way off, and I welcome somebody to tell me that I am, but I don't know, just gut feeling. I don't know if I would really travel. I would feel safe traveling on a high-speed rail.
And you know what else is funny about this? When you mentioned the price, our tide has turned here. Usually, I'm the cheapskate. I'm not calling you a cheapskate.
Well, you're talking billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars, and you know it'll be under budget, and then they'll have to give it more. So or rather over budget, they'll have to give it more.
We could end up with a big dig situation.
And this is pretty. If you look at that map that I mentioned, it's pretty extensive. So you're not talking about just one rail system that, you know, we have to focus on that one and get it done. This is all over the United States. It's well, I guess scattered across the United States.
You know what? It's I guess it's scattered like our listeners, and I wonder if any of them are going to be affected by this high-speed rail. I don't know.
Possibly.
I guess we've pretty much covered this, guys. Thanks for lending us an ear. If you have any information for us or any questions about an upcoming episode, please do send us an email at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com, and remember to check out Scott's blog on the homepage.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.